Mary Magdalene couldn't sleep last night. The events of last few days seemed unreal to her. With a heavy heart, on the first day after the Sabbath, she made her way to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid. But she was met with an unexpected sight. The stone that had sealed the tomb had been rolled away. Her heart sank once again. She could only think that someone had taken Jesus' body. She already found Jesus' death unjust and painful, but with his body missing, it seemed like an endless chain of despair. There was nothing she could do but cry. At the moment, Jesus said, "Woman, why do you cry? Who are you looking for?" Mary, thinking he was the gardener, asked where Jesus was. Then Jesus spoke up, "Mary," calling her by name, and she immediately recognized Jesus. John 10:3 says, "The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." When Jesus called her name, Mary recognized his voice immediately because she had become familiar with it over time. She always thought, "No one else in the world calls my name with such warmth except Jesus." Every time I read this passage, my heart swells with emotion. Do you know why? Jesus didn't go to crowded marketplaces or Jerusalem temple to boast about his resurrection. Instead, he appeared to just one person who mourned for him with tears of sorrow. He appeared to Mary as if she were the only person in the world. I believe this encounter between Jesus and Mary is a remarkable aspect of Easter to remember. Jesus sought out the one person who, in the midst of her hardship and weariness, was ardently longing for him. May each of us become that one person. Mary, overwhelmed with wonder, reached out to touch Jesus, but he said, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father." With these words, Jesus wasn't just addressing the physical state of his resurrected body. He was teaching Mary to encounter him in a new way. Jesus then sent Mary to the disciples, instructing her to tell them of his imminent ascension to God. It's noteworthy that Jesus referred to his disciples who had betrayed him as brothers and sisters. Despite their betrayal and sin, he continued to consider them his family. Such trust and love are transformative. Eventually, the disciples were changed, right? They became witnesses to Jesus' gospel. It's this unwavering love and trust that lifts people up. Jesus never gives up. He loves us and believes in us to the end. Let's rely on him and stand up without hesitation, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. The risen Jesus, who brings new life, is with us. Amen? The disciples hid for fear of being caught. What a contrast to Mary's bold and joyful proclamation. I've seen the Lord. Our present condition depends on whether or not we have experienced the risen Christ. The disciples who have not yet seen Jesus locked not only their doors, but also their hearts, fearful of being caught by the Jews because of their past association with Jesus. They sealed their hearts with double and triple locks. The first step in our faith journey is to open the door of our hearts. If we continue to think, I am always right. I am the master of my life. There is no room for salvation. But when we open our hearts, Jesus meets us and opens up a new way of salvation. Jesus came to the disciples. He didn't ring the bell and ask them to open the door, nor did he break in. The Bible simply tells us that he appeared to the trembling disciples. People speculate about how this was possible, whether Jesus turned into a ghost and so on. We don't know how it was possible. But the insight we gain from this scene is that our God transcends time and space. This is not the first time we have realized this. When God created the world, God transcended time and space. Ultimately, the Spirit of Jesus showed us that He can always be with us, transcending our time and space. I'm sure that Jesus is standing in front of us. He is waiting for you at the closed gate. May you open the door of your heart. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, the first word he said to them was Eirene, which means peace be with you. Above all, the risen Christ wanted to give peace to his disciples. In the midst of their anxiety and fear, he wanted them to experience true peace. This peace is a familiar greeting in Hebrew. Shalom. Shalom. In Greek, it is expressed as Eirene. Eirene. In the context of the Roman Empire, where boasted of the Pax Romana, meaning peace of Rome, achieved through conquest, Jesus sought a different kind of peace, peace with God and peace among us. This peace is not the peace that follows warfare, but rather the grace-filled peace that Jesus extends to us, reaching out to us before any show of force. May this time be a reflection of Paul's confession in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. When people are told to find the most comfortable position in the world, most of them lie down on the floor, right? Lying down is the most comfortable position, but if the floor is wet, you cannot just trust it and put your body on it. It becomes unsettling. The peace that Jesus desires is similar to being able to completely trust the ground beneath us so that we can completely relax into it. In other words, it's a peace that comes from faith, allowing us to entrust our lives completely to God who transcends time and space. Nowadays, hotels usually have safes in every room. But in the past, there used to be a sign in the front desk, hotel lobby, that said, "Please leave your valuables at the front desk." However, not many people actually left their valuables at the front desk. Why not? Because they couldn't trust it. Most people felt it was safer to keep their belongings with them. But then there was another line. "We take no responsibility for items not deposited." We may feel peaceful when we hold on to what we value, but true peace comes when we completely entrust everything to God. Whether it's our lives, our children, or our precious possessions, true peace comes when we lie down and lay our precious things securely on God's solid ground. When we become people of such peace, we adopt a posture of receiving the Holy Spirit. While we cannot physically meet the Jesus who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, the Jesus who transcends time and space now meets each of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. This is reflected in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give to you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid." It's the morning of the resurrection. May the risen Christ be with all of us. So let us receive the eirene, peace, that the Lord gives. May we give up everything we hold on to and find peace in the Lord who gives us. And may we respond to the voice of the Lord who calls us, "Come, let us rise up together and spread the gospel of the resurrection with our hands and feet." Let us now take a moment to close our eyes and reflect. Do I really bear the marks of an encounter with the risen and living Jesus? Is the place where I stand now close to Jesus, or have I distanced myself by putting up many barriers? Let us pray. Gracious God, we find ourselves living behind closed doors, both inwardly and outwardly, because of the fears and anxieties of life. Grant us the ability to entrust our lives completely to you, the God of peace, who transcends time and space. In doing so, may we open all the barriers of fear, anxiety, and doubt, and be led to live the life of true peace with you, experiencing the resurrection as your people. And may we be the hands and feet that carry this vitality. We pray in the name of the risen Christ, who always gives us life. Amen.